Thank you very much. I'm really honored to be here speaking to you this morning, and would like to wish a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here in the room. Good? Okay, so just a few weeks ago, Israel passed a new law to ban smoking in certain public places, including the Kotel, bus stops, outside of hospital entrances, and at concert halls. So personally, I think this is a wonderful thing. I'm also getting a master's in public health, so I guess it's not surprising. I think that's wonderful. But the question is, what does Judaism have to say about laws regarding our health? Right. Are laws regarding health completely independent from halakha, or does halakha have something to say about it? Is there a conversation that has to be had here? So I'd like to discuss with you some of these questions. And in doing so, I'm going to have two parts this year. So the first part is going to be more of a halakhic discussion and looking at sources that pertain to these questions. And the second part is going to be looking at a more philosophic angle of why. What's the value here? Okay, so to start us off, it's actually very fitting that I followed Rabbi Adler's shiur, because there's two main sources that relates to this question of does halakha have something to say about our health. And the first one, in Devarim, Perek Dalet, references the brit we made on Har Sinai. So it's perfect. So source number one, we read here, Rak yishomer lecha ushmor nashecha ma'od. You should take care, guard yourself greatly. Hen tishkach et hadvarim asher ru'u einecha, lest you forget the things your eyes saw. Lest they remove from your heart, and you should make them known to your children and children's children. The day that you stood before God, Achorev. So in context, right, these psukim are speaking about to remember the brit we made with Hashem at Har Sinai, to remember this experience we had, pass it down to our children. But Chazal take these words a little bit out of context and learn something different entirely. So in source number two, the Kli Yakar says, on these words, Rak yishomer lecha shmir nafshecha ma'od, yishomer lecha rotza lamar shmirat haguf. These words, yishomer lecha, are not telling you to remember Har Sinai, they're telling you to guard your body. Right, so perhaps he's picking up on, or Chazal picks up on this double language. Why this double language? So one's talking about guarding your body, and the other one's talking about guarding your soul. So here we see this mitzvah mandate to protect your body, your physical body. So that's the first source from the Torah. The second source is in Parashat Ki Tetzé, in source number 3, where it says here, Ki tivna bayit chadash, when you build a new house, v'asita ma'keh legagecha, you have to build a sort of fence on your roof. V'lo tasim damim v'aitecha, you shouldn't have any blood gills on your house. Ki pol hanafel me'anu, when someone falls off of it. Okay, so here is a little bit of a different context, but here it's saying that if you build a new house and you have some sort of dangerous roof on top, you have to build a fence. You have to protect yourself and others around you from being harmed. And the Chazal take this statement and expand it to other cases of danger and say it's a mitzvah to protect those around you from any sort of danger. So the Gemara talks about that in lots of different places, but I brought one for you in source number 4 and Baba Kama. So here it says, Titanya Rabbi Natan Omer, Minayin Shalo Yigdal Adam Kalev Ra Betoch Beito. How do we know that a person shouldn't have a dangerous dog in his house? The Aliyan means Sulam Ra'ua Betoch Beito, or have a rickety ladder lying around his house. Tamilomar, Lo Tasim Damim Veitecha. From our pasuk here, the Torah tells us you should not have any buglet on your house. Then any sort of danger that you have in your house, it's a mitzvah to get rid of it, to protect people from it. And, you know, it talks about, and the Gemara uses this to talk about not to, you know, eat certain foods or do other things also that could be problematic. Okay, so here are two psukim from the Torah, and let's see how the post-game bring these down. So both the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch mention this in their halachic works. So if you skip to source number 6, the Rambam here writes, Echad hagag ve'echad kol davar shiyish bo sakana. So whether a roof or anything that has some sort of danger to it, ve'ro'i sheish chol ben adam v'yamot, and it's possible that someone could stumble on it and die, kagon shaitalo be'er, or bor, etc., etc. I'm going to skip down. Okay, skip down to the third line. Mitzvah atzei lahasiro. It's a mitzvah, a positive commandment to remove it. V'hisham ner mimenu. V'hizahir b'davar yafeh yafeh. It's a mitzvah to remove it, to guard against it, and be very careful with it. Use this word yafeh yafeh. It's really important to guard yourself from it. And he quotes our pasuk here, shenemar yishamer lecha yishmor nashlecha. From our first pasuk is a positive commandment. V'yim lo hasir, if he doesn't remove it, and he leaves these obstacles that could cause danger. Not only was he batel, did he cancel or nullify a positive commandment, he's also over at a negative commandment, alot asim damim. So here you see that we in fact take these two down to halacha. It's practical for us. And the Shulchan Aruch again also mentions refraining from doing activities that could be dangerous. And the Ramah here adds something a little bit shocking, I would say. In the middle of the source number 7, we see the Haggah. He says here, V'chein yizeher mikol dvarim hamidi'im lidei sakana. And we have to be careful about anything that could possibly lead towards danger. Kisakanta chamira misura. That something that is dangerous is actually, we should be more strict about it. It's more important than an iser from the Torah. He says, "V'yesh lachush yotzer l'safek sakana l'safek isor." You have to be even more careful about something that is there's even some doubt that it could be dangerous than something that could be a doubt that it is forbidden from the Torah. So I think putting all these together, we see a mandate from the Torah to not only protect our bodies in a positive way, but also prevent ourselves from being harmed. If it's a suffix that it's dangerous, we have to be more careful about that than if it's a suffix that it's an iser from the Torah. Yeah, so here we're not going to get into all those details, but I'm not sure where you're referring to. Here and above, the Shulchan Aruch brings all these different examples of when you shouldn't drink water and stuff. Okay, so let's bring it back to our example of smoking for a second. So these are dangers, more like physical dangers in the Torah, a roof, a ladder, a dog. How do we apply this, or does it apply, to matters of health? So let's talk about smoking, for example. So there is a famous tshuva from Rav Moshe about smoking, and I'm sorry you didn't make it onto your source sheet, but I'll read it for you. If I can get it. So he says here, so vadai mikivan sheish chashash lishalut mizat. Since there's some sort of concern, some sort of doubt that you could be sick from it, it's better not to smoke. Aval lomar sheasur miyusur sakansa. But to say that it's actually forbidden, I'm not going to say that, because it says in the Gemara, shomer pitaim Hashem. Hashem watches over the simple. Like, if you're doing things that are normal behaviors, even though there's some sort of possible danger involved, can you say you can't cross Broadway, in the Heights? There is some sort of danger involved, but we're not going to say it's forbidden. You can't do that, or else you're going to have to stay in your house all day, right? And you can't leave because there's always some sort of danger. So if you're talking about, you know, in smoking, he's saying, is an example of everyone's doing it. It doesn't seem to be a problem. So I'm going to say it's not actually forbidden. It's under this category of Shomer Pratayim Hashem. He gives another reason, which is also that Gedolei Torah smoked. So how could we say it's bad for you? Interestingly, Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva in Chanukah time, 1963, which was just moments before the very first report on smoking was released by the Surgeon General. And that was the first report that said, actually, we now have enough evidence to say that smoking is really bad for you, you shouldn't do it. But until that time, you know, doctors were promoting smoking. It was something everyone was doing. So it makes sense that Rav Moshe was saying, Shomer Pratayim Hashem here. I can't tell you it's asur. I don't have really hard evidence, or it's not really known to us that it's forbidden. But nowadays, I think the situation is very different. So now we know that smoking is a leading cause of lung cancer, of heart disease. It's actually the single most preventable cause of disease. So we know that smoking is very bad for you. And therefore, in 2006, the RCA wrote a new tshuva, kind of an updated tshuva, in which they bring Rav Moshe's tshuva and explain that it was appropriate in his time, but nowadays it's very, very different. And they conclude their tshuva by saying as follows. Accordingly, this analysis must lead to the unambiguous conclusion that smoking is clearly and unquestionably forbidden by halacha, and that this should be made known to all who care about the Torah and their health. And so here we could see... It didn't make it onto the source sheet. I'm sorry. But I can tell you exactly where it is, if you want to look it up. Okay, after. I could tell you. I have it here. I'll tell you after I can find it. Okay, so this is an example of smoking. We'll look a little bit later on how you apply that to other health behaviors. Can you apply it to other health behaviors? But I'd like to move on now, after it's talking about the halachic side, to a more philosophical perspective. So if we see that there's a value of taking care of our health, engaging in healthy behaviors, refraining from non-healthy behaviors, the question is why? Why are we doing this? And here I'd like to share two different approaches with you. So the first approach we're going to look at through the Ramban, which is source 10 on page 3. Here it says, source 11. V'kitavo el ha'aretz unetatem kol etz ma'achal. When you come to the land and you plant any fruit tree, v'arlartem arlatzo et priyosh shloshanim yelachem arlim lo yechel. You should make the fruit forbidden. For 3 years, it should be forbidden, for you should not eat it. This is a mitzvah known as arla, that when you plant a new fruit tree, you can't eat the fruit for the first 3 years. And the Ramban tries to give a reason to this. So there's a separate discussion as to whether or not we can find reasons to the mitzvot, whether we should find reasons for them. It's a fascinating discussion, not for now. But the Ramban, needless to say, thinks that we should. Not only to say it's the reason, but it's a reason. It might not be the only purpose for this mitzvah, but it's something that we can connect to and make it meaningful for us. So he gives a few reasons, and then he goes on to say in source 12, Ve'emet ha'dvar od, and the truth of the matter is furthermore, ki ha'pri b'tchilat mitziat ha'ilanos rav halachut davek ma'od mezik laguf ve'enenu tov lachla. So really, for the fruit, when you first plant it, it's very moist, it's very sticky, and it's harmful for your body. And it's not good to eat it. And not only that, he says, but it's kedag she'ein lo kashkasha. It's just like fish that don't have scales. V'amachalim ha'nasarim b'torah, and all the other forbidden foods in the Torah, heim ra'im gam laguf. they're bad for us. Okay, so, and so eating certain foods are bad, and that's why, according to the Torah, we can't eat them. The Rambam writes a similar thing in Mor Nevuchim, verse 13, I'll be the first line. I maintain the food which is forbidden by the law is unwholesome. He goes in to say, you know, why eating a trefa or an avela or other animals are bad for us. So we know, you know, there's a lot of wisdom behind this because we know that foods, you know, can be bad for us. You know, there are lots of studies showing that people who eat certain foods have higher rates of cancer, of heart disease, right? So we know there's something truth to this. But you see here that according to this approach, kind of being healthy is an end in and of itself, right? And the Torah is actually helping us achieve this goal of being healthy, telling us not to eat this, not to eat that, and there's some sort of independent value to be healthy. And Hashem wants us to be healthy, and that's why, or partially why, He's telling us to eat this, not to eat that. And I guess the one question here is, you know, do we expand this to other foods that we know now not to be healthy? You know, there's been a lot of research about trans fats, you know, about, you know, studies have shown, you know, trans fats do lead to higher rates of cancer and heart disease, and during this obesity epidemic that we're going through now, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, limiting trans fats, and you know, are we going to say that that's halachic value? What about red meat? You know, there's a lot of studies also show that, you know, eating a lot of red meat leads to, or people who eat more red meat have a higher risk of heart disease. Is, are we going to say that that's a halachic value? That my friend just has an organization called Mushi, which is meat on only Shabbos, happy occasions, and Yom Tov. So this idea of, you know, maybe limiting our conception of red meat, not completely. You know, I'm not going to go so far to say that this is halachically problematic. Perhaps this is in the realm of Shomer Petim Hashem. You know, everyone's eating these foods. Everyone seems to be fine. Perhaps given the evidence we have now, I'm not going to go out to say that is, you know, forbidden, but I think that could be an interesting discussion to have a little bit later. I read in the Jewish Action not too long ago before Pesach, there was a letter to the editor asking the OU, you know, how could you give your hashgacha on all these high-fat foods? You know, I was thinking maybe we should incorporate some sort of health standards into our kashrut. Something to think about for later. But I want to return to this idea of being healthy is important for its own sake. And perhaps there is something a little bit deeper here. So to look at this deeper level, I want to bring you to a Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah, source 10. So it says here, this is talking about a separate mitzvah, but I think it relates to our discussion. It says, Gamel nafsho ish chesed zehil hazakein, shebesha'a shahaya niftar mitamidav, so when Hillel HaZaken was saying goodbye to his students and walking with them, they said to him, Rabbi, where are you going? Amar lahem lasot mitzvah. Says, I'm going to do a mitzvah. Amar lo, yuchi ma mitzvah zo, what mitzvah are you going to do? Amar lahem lirchot v'veit hamerchatz. I'm going to wash in the bathhouse. V'amrlo v'kizah mitzvah hi. That, what kind of mitzvah is that? That's a mitzvah. V'amrlohem, he's on to say, I'll read it outside, that if the images and the icons of the king are supposed to be kept clean in theaters and circuses, all the more so myself. The last line he says here, ki b'selem elokim asa et hadam. That man was made in the image of God. So all the more so, I have to keep myself clean, as I represent God. And I'd like to suggest that perhaps this can relate to our discussion that, you know, being healthy, caring for our bodies, is important because we are created in the image of God. And that's why it's important for us to engage in healthy behaviors, refrain from non-healthy behaviors, because our bodies are from God. They're gifts from God. We represent God by ourselves, and we should protect them because of that godly image. So this was approach number one. Another approach is found in the Rambam, and we're going to look at source 14. Actually, source here, I think that's going to be 15. Yes, okay, last page. Source 15 here. He gives a different approach. And here, in Hilchot Deot, first of all, we're not going to read them all in detail, but I brought some more sources for you. He talks about the importance of eating healthy and exercising. He gives you a whole list of foods to eat, not to eat. Although one of my friends had mentioned that she had met someone who went on Rambam's diet, you know, about exactly the foods he suggests and doesn't suggest. So it's interesting, but he really has a lot of details there about what you should and shouldn't be eating and exercising and doing. But then he gives some sort of broader reason for why in source 15. And he says, So having your body healthy and complete and whole is the ways of God. You can't possibly understand and know any knowledge of the Creator if you're sick. Therefore, sarich leharchik adam atzmo midvarim hamabdim etaguf. And that's why, therefore, a person has to distance himself from things that destroy the body. And he should accustom himself with things that are healthy and healing. So here I think the Rambam's offering a different perspective. He's saying, why do we have to engage in healthy behaviors? Because we have to know God, right? We have to be able to spend our energies, our focus. In Rambam's world, it's through studying, through learning, Torah. We have to have a healthy mind for that, a healthy body for that. You know, if you don't get enough sleep the night before, you're not going to be able to concentrate in your learning Seder. If you skip breakfast and you're, you know, running around, you're not going to have energy to go to the extra shiur, to have, you know, the motivation to do that. If you know, and that's, I think, what Rambam's saying here, is that there's this really powerful mind-body connection that can't be ignored. So the value of having a healthy body here is to kind of keep that in check, to have a balanced body, to then allow you to do some more spiritual pursuits. And he writes in the Moran Nevuchim that, you know, there's two perfections that we're striving for. Perfection of the body, perfection of the soul. Obviously, the soul is more important. But you can't achieve that perfection until you have perfection of the body. It's kind of, you know, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You have to have your basic needs met. Food, shelter, and then you can work up your way up towards ultimately self-perfection, self-actualization. And I think there's a support from the Rambam's perspective from the first source that we started with. If you just flip back over, we had said that this whole notion of learning about protecting your body from Hishamer Lacha comes from the psukim of remembering Har Sinai, right? So this idea that we have to protect our body, perhaps you can say, in order to live, survive, pass this message on to our children. And that's kind of intertwined together. This idea of protecting your body, your physical cells, is wrapped up with pursuing the values, the Torah that we got, Har Sinai, and passing along those messages to our children. So let's flip back to the last page again. And the Rambam here writes that, I was look at certain select lines here. He says 16, Sarir Chazam Shikavin Libo, Bechol Ma'asav Kulam Miyazad Hashem Baruch Hu Bilvad, that all of one's actions should be ultimately to know God. And then skip to 18, where he says, Hamanhig Atzmo Apir HaRefuah, someone should, you know, live, conduct themselves according to medicine. Then he says, skip to the bold lines, Kedei shetiyad nashoy yishara l'da'at et Hashem, right? That you need to do this in order to your soul can know God. And the Kesef Mishnah says, in source 17, here, that he's commenting on the Rambam here, and he says, when Rambam writes, that when a person, when Rambam writes, a person has to have all his actions towards knowing God. He says, "Klalzat avot Rabbi Natan." This whole thing is written in Avot Rabbi Natan. Ve'omer sham, shakol hosaken nikra kadosh. That every person who can do this is called holy. And that holiness here, I think what he's saying is holiness is this idea that all your actions are towards God. So even your mundane actions, like stretching in the morning, going for a walk, eating healthy, those might be, eating might be a mundane action, but if you're doing so you can have your body healthy to know God, then that's considered holy. You're bringing this idea of kedusha, of godliness, into your mundane activities, into every little thing that you're doing. And here, the Rambam, go back to 18, he says, on the third line down, towards the end of the line, Nimsa hamahalech b'derech zo, kol yamav ovet et Hashem tamid. So someone who does this, who walks in this path, follows this way, he is worshiping God always. Right? Not only in shul, or when you're, you know, sitting in the sukkah, when you're having your Shabbos dinner, but all the time. If you have your mindset of, I'm going to engage in these mundane activities, but in order to pursue spiritual pursuits of knowing God, getting to know God a little bit more, doing his mitzvot, then you're really worshiping God all the time. So these, I think, are two beautiful ideas, whether it's, you know, the reason to be healthy, whether it's for its own sake, because we're Tzelem Elokim, or for the purpose of knowing God. Clearly there's some sort of value here, a Torah value of bringing healthy behaviors into your lifestyle. So with that, I'd like to conclude a little bit by speaking about some opportunities that this offers us and also some challenges. So in terms of the opportunities, I think that if we really feel that engaging in healthy behaviors is a Torah value, is part of Judaism, we can make more time for it in our lives. Right? Because, you know, we all somehow manage in our busy lives to have Shabbos dinner ready, you know, before a certain time, no matter what. You know, it can be a crazy busy day, but like when Shabbos comes in, everything's ready and we're all set when it comes to Pesach cleaning, whatever it is. We make time in our lives for our mitzvot, even though we're busy. And I think by incorporating some sort of Torah value into healthy behaviors, we can squeeze in a time for a brisk walk in the afternoon and in the morning, or, you know, spend a little time making a little healthier dinner. If we view it as some sort of Odat Hashem. I also think that sometimes we can have more willpower when it comes to halacha. You know, with your dairy, if you're meat, you're not gonna eat that ice cream no matter how good it looks, right? Like my friend told me that her mom has declared potato chips non-kosher, right? Because she knows that she'll eat them anyway, but if they're not kosher, like, she's definitely not gonna eat them, right? So I think that if we somehow, not that, you know, all unhealthy foods are absolutely off limits all the time, but if we incorporate some sort of value, perhaps we can find a little bit of room, a little bit more motivation in our lives to engage in these healthy behaviors. At the same time, I think that there is a challenge to this, and that, you know, we don't want to become obsessed with our physical bodies and obsessed with, you know, exercising, eating well, because again, the purpose here is health, not to be skinny, to, you know, have good looks, like some people diet and exercise for. You know, I think that, you know, being not eating enough is also a big problem, and I think you don't want to go to the opposite extreme of like never eating a cookie in your life. Yeah, but I think, you know, some sort of finding the balance and having health as a goal could, you know, really help us be able to fulfill the mitzvot here of having a healthy body, using that body towards the avodat Hashem and mitzvot. So just to summarize here, end a little bit early, that's okay. Summarize a little bit here. We spoke a little bit in the beginning about the two mitzvot from the Torah that touch upon this concept of caring for our bodies. Whether it was in a sense of Shmor Nafshecha, I think that's a more personal commandment, guard your own bodies, whereas the verse of the Ma'akah is more about not doing something or having something that's going to affect other people. So smoking, you know, is a good example of both. It harms you personally, but it also harms those around you, secondhand smoke. Then here we see kind of both commandments, or both ideas here in the Torah, personal and communal health. And then we spoke about two different ways of conceiving that. Is that a mitzvah in and of itself to be healthy, perhaps because we are created of Tzelem Elokim, or is it a means to an end of being able to know God further? But in any case, I hope that somehow these ideas can motivate us just a little bit more to bring some sort of healthy behavior into our lifestyle, and in doing so, allow us to become, as the Kesef Mishnah says, more kadosh and more holy. Thank you very much.